when the negative is all you hear. Gotta keep believing, 'cause in the dark there is a light, truth that keeps on burning bright. Brave enough to fight the fight and shout the battle cry. You'll never stop me, I'm a warrior. When I fall down, I get stronger. Faith is my shield, and love is the
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm your host, Pastor and Commander Dan. Today is the 11th day of March, year 2018, and we've entitled today's program, A Call to Arms. Our guest is Doc Waterman, and he'll join us here in just a second. We do encourage callers at some point, though, if you do have a comment or question, don't feel embarrassed or ashamed or any of that nonsense. This is your medium of exchange as much as it is ours. Before we begin, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh, in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. We do want to remind you, we have a website. We try to keep it jammed up with lots of information, cross-references, daily hot mail, scriptural references, and archives of this radio show. So please visit PastorDan.net, and that's all together, PastorDan.net, when you get a chance. Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it will be in the last days, says Yahweh, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I don't know about the other old men out there, but I sure dream an awful lot. A couple of other quick ones here. Some quotes that you might find interesting. This one here is, let's be honest with ourselves here, folks. We do control the media. And that was by the Jew, Manny Friedman. Thomas Jefferson, when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. And then Thomas Paine added, the strength and power of despotism consists wholly in the fear. Fear. Remember that word, fear. In the fear of resistance. The murdered rancher out west by the elements of the criminal elements of this government, Lavoie Finicum, said, no matter how it ends, it matters how you stand. Can't change the end, folks. That was ordained from the beginning. It, what matters is how you stand during the time Father gives you. And last but not least, George Washington told us that when government takes away citizens' right to bear arms, it becomes the citizens' duty to take away government's right to govern. And Doc, are you on there? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, excellent. Sounds good. So Doc, it's been a while. You're a first-time listener for some of our folks. We got a lot of new listeners since way back when we were on the radio last time. And so if you don't mind, would you take just a couple minutes to bring everybody up to speed as far as who you are and what your background is, and then we can go forward.
Well, let's see. Where should I start? I'm a naturopathic doctor. I still do clinic work. I do that in the Ozarks. And formerly, I was a heathen, and became a believer, then became aware many years ago, of course, of who I was. And then that changes the perspective of what's really going on in this world. What's going on in this world is that we are at war. We've been at war for a long time. We've had some good times as people. We've had some bad times as people. And right now we're having a little mix of both, but we have not. The war just continues to follow us, and I'm no pastor, but I know that it follows us wherever we go, however much peace we seek to have, they pick fights with us, and we're in one right now.
Yep, amen to that. Well, you're also a ham radio operator, aren't you?
Oh, ham radio operator, and that became very important and vital during the 90s when I was a state commander in the militia. And ever since then, I have been moving forward with that. And we have a lot going in that arena, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that today in our warfare that we are in right now. And there are many experiences. You know, there's been a cascade of events that have got us to where we're at today. I guess you could back up quite a ways to several points, but in modern history, we have the beast system attacking a fellow in the woods and shooting his wife and babies and kids in the back, and so Randy Weaver became a victim. We've had lots and lots of victims like that, and then it began to ramp up. And, of course, it's in 1995 when they bombed Oklahoma City, when it became the most virulent attack upon what they're afraid of, Pastor, and that's this. They're afraid of good people, the American people, and their guns. And so when the militia movement was extremely strong, extremely powerful, it was at that time that we gave the federal government an ultimatum. I don't know that very many people know about that. I don't know if you want to go into that. But we were literally on the phone with the feds. And I'm talking about the attorney generals of the world. And I'm not talking about in the state. I'm talking about the White House. And Newt Gingrich. And he's, of course, a globalist. And we just gave them the ultimatum. You're going to stop this immigration, or we're going to go to the border, and there isn't going to be a possum, a rat, a mole cross the border. Now, we did not know it, but they had actually tapped all of our phones, and 5 years after that event and Project Operation Protect America ended, we got notice, all of us, that we had never broke the laws, but that they had to notify us that they had tapped our phones. Well, they can do that today, but now they don't have to tell you, thanks to the Patriot Act. It was really amazing how they operate. You talked about the media, Dan. The media is so vicious. It's absolutely unbelievable how vicious they were. Let me tell you what happened. Just, I'm going to move us rapidly from this 95 point up to today, but back then, Leslie Stahl on the fake news, national news, was trying to find out where the training was in Michigan with the then commander of the state Michigan militia. And, excuse me. And Norm Olson was the commander at that time, and he had put out notice to commanders across the United States and offered officer training by his group there in Michigan. In his group, in his state militia, he had the 30-year retired veteran that was, you know, he was a pastor to the troops. He wasn't a soldier. But he was in the military. You know, they call those guys chaplains. He spent 30 years, and he had organized some training for militias. And what was that training for? It wasn't how to shoot straight. It was how to be dependable, reliable, how to lead, take command, how to be respected. It was literally professional military commandership training. So I had our officers lined up to go. In the meantime, what we didn't know was they were planning the bombing in Oklahoma City. On the way up there, we heard it the very day that it happened. We were on the road when we heard that it happened. But here's what had happened prior to the bombing. Leslie Stahl had called Norm Olson and said, we'd like to interview you about militias because they'd been in the news. And he said, okay, when would you like to? Well, we'd like to see you in the field training. Well, here's our training schedule. And he gave her a date. She says, oh, no, 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 I can't come then. And he said, okay, well, let's pick another date. And so he gave her another date. She says, no, 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 no. He did that 3 or 4 times. And then finally, Norm was very frustrated and says, then when do you want to come? And she said, how's April 19th, 1995? She knew there was going to be an event that hit the news that day called the Oklahoma City bombing, and that they, the militia in Michigan, were going to try to be blamed for it. They are scared to death of the power of 300 million weapons in this country, and particularly citizens who organize themselves to fight the beast. They are scared to death still of it. But there are some things here of late that have been able to give us an advantage. Back then, when we had Operation Protect America, a fellow in California, in a small town there, had organized that he was a state commander in California. he spent a lot of long-distance telephone money. In fact, back then, folks, it wasn't free. He spent $50,000 of his money just making phone calls to militias to coordinate probably what at that point, and probably up to now, has been the largest organized attack upon the attackers of our country coming across the border. We had 200 aircraft that were going to be rotated in. We had state militias coming in on a rotational basis getting ready to go to the border. Of course, La Raza had threatened Dean Compton, was his name by the way, had threatened Dean Compton with his life and told him, you'll never make it to the border. And Dean says, we'll fight all the way to the border and we're going to kick your butt all the way out of this country. Well, here's what happened. The feds got involved and they were given a 3-month warning. Get it fixed or we're coming. We gave them 3 months actually. Upon that deadline, a week before the deadline ended, Newt Gingrich and Janet Reno met in Dean Compton's town. He didn't even know they were coming. Now, he lives in one of those little, you know, blinking light towns, Dan, that's, you know, nobody lives in. He's out in the rural area. So why would they go there? Because they were making a message. They made a broadcast from Dean Compton's little bitty town. He didn't even know they were coming. And of course they were saying, we're standing here at blah, 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 and we're here to make a special announcement. They were promising 100,000 federal, some kind of troops, some kind of federal troops, were going to go to the border to stop the illegals from crossing. Now, the caveat to this, well, let me back up and say this. Dean had promised that if they would stop and take action, that the militias would not go. So they made this promise right there from his town. Of course, they didn't want to talk to him. They were scared to death of him. And so they made their little announcement, and then he gave us the message that they had intended to send this event, troops, to the border. Our mistake was, guess what, Pastor?
We trusting them. Trusting them, yeah, or believing them, right?
So what we ended up doing was we had, you know, this is a huge army of people. I mean, the reason why they actually came and made this statement was they had tapped our phones. They heard it was a real effort. They heard that it was massive. They knew how big it was. And people had been scheduling in vacations to rotate in. And so they wanted to get that all that timing off, and they did. Because Dean postponed it to see what their response was. And of course, let's see. What is it now? 23 years later, we're still waiting. And what's happening? Well, at least it's not as bad as Europe. Germany's gone. You know, Sweden's gone. You know, we can go through the list. And now the reason why the fight right now is to take our weapons is they're getting ready to bring in the illegal massive, quote, refugees, which you and I know are just military able men, into this country. That's what they're getting ready to do. Now, in the meantime, I retired, of course, from that slot, but I haven't retired from it completely. And there are a group of people around the country and actually around the world that pull in intel. And now, as we've gotten into the new modern age, we have chat rooms, we have internet shows, we have connectivity beyond belief, where people are communicating and working together. And so, do they? Who's they? Well, the enemy. And the enemy trolls our chat rooms, they troll our articles, they comment. The enemy I'm talking about is Israel. And Israel is assigned an entire task force to get on the internet and troll us, try to comment, counter the comments, and so forth. Now, it's part of the IDF. It's called the New Media Desk. The New Media Desk co-founder is this lady, this ignorant American lady that left the U.S. and said she just wanted to dedicate her life to the people of Israel. And so she went over and signed up for the IDF and is pushing and is co-founder and commander of the IDF's New Media Desk. Now, I'm going to give you her name. Here's what one of the things that we need to launch, and I'm kind of jumped the gun here, kind of not laying the groundwork, but we are in what you might want to call the prelude to a real bullet war right here. And I'm talking real soon. If you just heard the chatter that we're getting in this, what we call the signal core of the ground crew, you would absolutely fall over wondering what the heck we're not, why are we sitting around doing this talk? But we haven't anything to lose now to get this out in the open, Pastor. And so what's going on is the psychological warfare, the leaflet, so to speak, dropping, you know, that happens, and all the propaganda that goes on right before something happens. That's what's going on right now, and it's mainly being done on the internet. And we have ways to counter. We can get back at them because we can set right where we're at and do this. But this isn't the only thing. This is just one thing. We have to counter this new media desk. We're at war. And let me express this, because I think it sounds trite and meaningless to say we're at war. We are in the depths of the most vicious, most cunning warfare that has ever been launched on the white race. Ever. Now, right now, the precursor to taking us completely out, which means killing us, is a bullet-free war. But it's war nonetheless. Now, this war, it takes our culture. It steals our wealth. It's taking our families. It's taking our jobs. It wants to take our lives. It's done everything but take our lives. But the bullet-free war is taking everything away from you. I imagine there's many of you sitting out there wondering, I've worked really hard. Why the hell am I where I'm at? Because they're criminals, and they've launched this golden egg-laying goose called the Federal Reserve, and we're going to counter them. And I got so many things to cover here, I really don't know where to go, but we have an option to the central banks. We have an option to all this trolling they're doing on the internet. We have an option to all their secrecy as we intercept their signals. And then we just need some hands. We can get it done, Dan. We can get this done. So who is this person that founded it? Let me give you the name before I forget. This is the IDF's New Media Desk, Commander, I want you to write this down, Because when you go to comment something in some maybe Zero Hedge or somewhere, somebody says, oh, well, they're blah, 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 and they start spouting all their poor little, you know, abused Holocaust lies. You can counter back and say, you know who you are. You're from the new media desk of the IDF. And your commander is First Lieutenant Eliza Landez. And I'm going to spell that for you. A-L-I-Z-A. Let me repeat the first name. A-L-I-Z-A. Last name is L-A-N-D-E-S. In the meantime, the New Media Desk spokesperson, they have their own spokesman's unit. They don't have a spokesperson's unit. Isn't it odd, Pastor, that they want us to be gender neutral in this country, and they're the ones pushing it, the Jews. But when they start their New Media Desk public relations group, it's called the IDF Spokesman's Unit. Not spokesperson, but spokesman's unit. It's not what's good for the goose isn't good for the gander in their, you know, country, of course. The one that's going to be, you'll be running into quite a bit is a corporal. And I'm going to spell their name too. This is from the New Media Desk unit of the IDF. You're going to be seeing these slime balls trolling comments all over the internet, and it's Corporal Lyra, that's L-I-R-I, Haram, H-A-R-A-M. Just use those two names alone. I mean, you can get, we'll give you more, but if you'll just use those two names alone, I think the what we want to do is let them know, we know who you are, we have your name, and we know where you are, and pretty soon you aren't going to be, period. We need to get them that kind of message.
Yeah, let me remind the folks real quick here, Doc. IDF that we speak of is the Israeli Defense Force, for the folks out there that weren't aware of that.
The Israeli Defense Force, of course, is the name of a military group in a country that doesn't have full nation status. They are a state. They are not a nation. They act like it, but they're not. They're a state. It's kind of like a test, but the test continues, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about Hillsdale's course on the Constitution for a minute, because I think this is really important. It's really more important, folks, not to be able to shoot straight, but to understand that you have the authority and the moral high ground to engage your enemy right now. And I'm not talking about just going into chat rooms and telling them you know who they are. The founding fathers were kicked out of being able to represent themselves, and they were having to meet in a tavern. All peaceful means of, you know, as you know, posting their grievances didn't work. They couldn't vote. They couldn't represent. We aren't represented anymore. And the very people that they worked with when they, before the revolution started, were the very ones taking their ability away to represent them. Of course, these people that were at the higher level, like the king's representative there in the colonies, they were people that he was somebody that they talked to, knew. It was a table name. Everybody knew who that was. Of course, it was a smaller world back then. They finally resolved, and you can go through the Hillsdale Constitution 101 course and find out exactly what was going on and what did they resolve themselves to do, that they had no recourse left. That their recourse required by God, by the Father, that they were going to have to take their country back. Now, the president of Hillsdale College was asking this to students, and the student says, well, they had to go into revolution. He says, well, what's that mean? What was the highest authority? It wasn't the king. Oh, well, it's against the law to shoot somebody. It is? Who said? Well, of course, the beast says that. Let me ask you something. There's a law on the books right now that says that law enforcement do not have the legal obligation to protect the public. You've seen that probably, haven't you?
I've heard about it, yeah.
There's a law in the Constitution, it went all the way to the Supreme Court. They're not obligated to protect anybody, and of course, they don't have to give their life for you. So what in the hell are they for? I'll tell you what they're for. They're for the enforcement of the laws of the beast. And they're not laws. They're fiat laws. They're enforcers of a beast system. And they most of the time catch us unaware. There was a time when there was some problems down in Texas, and I got a call on the ham radio, clear out of state, they had troubles, and I took off like mad with our group, because they were in a meeting with the FBI, and they were jamming their radios, and they knew that our group had probably the best comms group in the country. And when we got down there, they had surrounded him, and sitting out in the parking lot of a public restaurant was a van that looked like a porcupine. They had been jamming all the communications. What I'm getting at is maybe some people have some concepts of the militia being these guys that run around in the woods and go shoot at little targets in the woods. No. The real militias are communicating. They are giving law enforcement orders. They're making friends if they can and educating them if they can. If they are not going to, they are then the enemy. What I'm getting at here is in that course in the Constitution, it says those people, which then were law enforcement officers back in the colonies, we're not enforcing lawful laws. They had become tyrants. So Hillsdale College says, God Almighty, because of that, God Almighty, the Father, gave them the moral high ground to kill them because they wouldn't stop their tyranny. Let me say it one more time. He gave them, the Father, gave them the moral high ground to go kill them, because what were they doing? They were killing them. Had they shot a bullet at them and started a war yet? No. I mean by that, the bad guys? No. What did they do? They took their representation away. They couldn't go to the courts. They couldn't pass laws. They couldn't vote. They didn't have administrative ability. So all the branches, all the venues, all the peaceful means of resolving a problem had been taken away from us, the colonists. Now, when this started, there were some men at Malmouth, Massachusetts. These men at Malmouth, Massachusetts, got on a boat and dumped some tea in the water, in the ocean. It was called the Boston Tea Party. The Boston Tea Party participants prayed. And in their prayer, they said at the very end, "May the God above the clouds set Israel free." Let me say it one more time here. The guys that were doing the Boston Tea Party, the men of Malmuth that did it, had a prayer. They had prayer. And they said, "May the God above the clouds set Israel free." Now, J.B. Wells actually read that prayer on one of his programs. I hope you all know J.B. Wells. What is that? He's Caravan to Midnight. So I contacted him and I said, and he said, by the way, he says, "Isn't that a peculiar prayer? Isn't that peculiar statement to make in a prayer at a Boston Tea Party in the Revolution? Start of it?" So I wrote to him and I said, "No, it's not. And I know why they said to set Israel free." He wanted to know. He actually put me on the air. And the reason, of course, all of our listeners know is because these men knew they were Israel. They literally knew it. It's almost as common knowledge back then that they were Israelites as it was to say that when you had a marriage, it was between men and women. It was so obvious, so absolutely obvious that marriage is between a man and a woman, that they didn't even include that definition in the law. Because it was known to be commonly known as that. Same with being an Israelite. So standing there in the destiny that God had forgiven, you know, had for the sake of Israel given them a place to go, we ended up having to fight tyrants. And I'm not talking about a bullet-free war. They had resolved the fact that they had to shoot and kill. Now, they didn't do that just, okay, guys, today in the morning we're going to get up, blah, blah, blah. There was some warning given. There was some, you know, reason to it. And, of course, this discussion from the tavern goes across the tables of most of the colonists during that time. And guess what? Even went into some of the churches. And we had some pastors that had some intestinal fortitude back then and actually helped lead the charge, right? But what we have before us is exactly the same thing. There's one little difference, one little caveat that I want to make everybody clearly aware of, and that's this. Back then, the king had cannons and muskets.
Hey, which one of you guys aren't of the tribe of Judah?
Hold on a minute, Charles.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, in the meantime, we have this event coming back then of a revolution, and they had, the king's army had muskets, they had cannons, and the colonists had muskets and cannons. The king just had more. The king's army didn't have helicopters, tanks, jets. So what's the difference today? The difference today is that the beast appears to be absolutely, well, what's the Bible say, Pastor?
Who can make war
almost
with the beast?
Who can make war with the beast? That's where we're at. But does that mean we're not supposed to stand? I'm going to tell you this one way. Hell no. You said it earlier before we started the show. It's not how it ends, it's how we stand. And there's a lot that we can do, smart work that we can do right now. And so what do you do when, in pure military strategic terms, you are overwhelmed? It's a different kind of war than our forefathers fought. That's what it is. First, we put together a very, very potent intelligence gathering apparatus. And we make that primary use of it for actions that are covert. During the Vietnam War, some of the guys that were in the Vietnam War used to fight guys in the jungle at night. Unbeknownst to them, sometimes during the day when they went into town to get a haircut, the same guy that was shooting at them at night was giving them a haircut in the daytime. And that's the kind of war that the Father wants us to. He does not want us to sit and do nothing. We have to fight. But we've got brains, and He wants us to be smart. You don't run out in front of a whole bunch of M50s on sitting on top of police, machine guns and guys in SWAT gear and a armored personnel carrier behind the guys and say, okay, let's do it. You know, that's not how it works. We take the apparatus down. We get the intelligence. We throw rocks in the gears. We unloose the break off the tines of this apparatus. There are ways to do it. Let me give you one of the ways. What's one of the most vicious things that started in the early 1900s that has taken our wealth away? Pastor, what is it?
Yeah, well, you got the IRS and Social Security and the Federal Reserve.
You've got the IRS, the Social Security, and the Federal Reserve. The UPMA.org is an organization that was started by what was called the Legal Tender Act in Utah. And a lot of people look at it and they go, oh, well, they just sell gold and silver. Nope, they don't. Let's back up here. This is not where you go to buy gold and silver coin. If you want to buy gold and silver as a coin, you can go into anywhere. But this is a new banking system. This is a new banking system that offers you an opportunity to be around the Federal Reserve. You don't even have to have that little thing you just mentioned, Social Security. You don't have to have a Social Security number to open up an account at this bank. How about that? It's based on real money, not fiat money. It's gold and silver. Now, that does not mean much when you think that the SEC has control of commodities. So they passed the Legal Tender Species Act because all the gold and silver that is on deposit is in legal tender, which therefore takes it out of the SEC's control because it is not a commodity. We've got President Reagan to thank for this because he was the one that began to allow the pure minting from our treasury, not the Fed, for gold and silver. This bank opened last September with its ribbon cutting ceremony, is the most secure bank in the United States. It has 22 security measures between the front door and the vault door. There's an audit that was done of the bank by the same people that audit normal banks in the United States, and he said that most banks have about a punch list of about 12 to 24 things they've got to get fixed before the FDIC will insure them. When they came to ours, they had one thing, and so they couldn't look at it because it was built in the wall. It had to do with wiring, and I won't get into the details. It's a secure thing. But when they looked at the plans and contacted the contractor, they found out that what they had a question of was no longer a problem, and that there was no problems, zero problems. And so Lloyd's of London insures this bank 100%. All the other banks in the country will cover, say, your safe deposit box up to $1,000. And the only thing FDIC covers in a bank is if there's a problem and a loss of money due to inflation. Not criminality, not because they broke the bank and lent it out more than they were supposed to and got caught and there was a run, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the FDIC is basically crap when it comes to insurance. But this is a whole nother financial institution that you can bank. Oh yeah, you can get ATM cards. We're not talking about going back to the dark ages here. In fact, I will not explain it here, but we are beta testing technology beyond belief that is the only gold and silver legal tender species crypto in the world. Now, you might say, oh my gosh, that means there's central, no, there's no central control. Well, here's what I'm getting at. The remnant of Israel now has an option. You can play with the beast, or you can play with God's money. One of the two, and you can pay your bills and go grocery shopping with your little card and do all that stuff, and you will not be in this bank. You can set that bank account up without a Social Security number. You might be asking, oh, this ain't going to last long. There is the commitment to protect this bank by the militia of Utah and the Attorney General of the state of Utah, and the governor will issue the guard if they are attacked. We have notable people that have made such comments, and of course the Attorney General has spoken to the bank people at a grand opening. We have just one thing there to fight the beast with. We have more. We have lots of things that we can opt into. Another one is that we have a Signal Corps operation going, and just, it's in the works right now, Pastor. It's in a work in progress. We are able to get more signal data from military, and in particular Israeli intelligence, than we can get through. Here's what we haven't been able to do. It's encrypted, but we know the signal's frequency, we know the date, we know the time, we know the who, and we know the where. We just don't know what they're saying. This gives us a measurable amount of activity for any part, any place in the world that they might be, so that we know when things get hot, guess what happens? There's more signal. You can correlate that with a lot of news items and track them, but there's just so much we can do. We need more help. And this is actually what the ground crew of Israel should be getting done, and that's what I'm trying to organize right now, is getting a group together so that we can pour through all this signal material and try and make sense of it, because it's just enormous. It's absolutely enormous. This does not require you to have a ham license. It will require you to have some equipment to listen. But that equipment has changed radically, kind of like the phone system, and how we've spent $50,000 in one commander's headquarters just coordinating a project, an operation. You can, for a couple hundred bucks, you can have some of the most absolutely fantastic listening tools that you plug into your computer. All you have to do is stick out a wire and start listening. And we have schedules of time. We have frequencies. There's a lot of educating we'd have to get people up on. but it's all there. Now, we're not here to do it as a hobby. We're here to do it so that we can find out what the enemy has planned. Back in the 90s, whenever we wanted to know what was going down, all we had to do was get in touch with our contact that knew what the HRT was up to. Now, the HRT was the hostage rescue team. That's the same bunch of jerks that went out and killed Finnegan. And when they get launched, and when they're on the move, we knew bad stuff was on the way. Do you see what I'm talking about? We've got to get our guys back on top of that group and find out when the hell they're going out the back door. We don't necessarily need to know where or anything, but we just need to know when they're on the move. Most of the time, we already have a pretty good idea where they're at because we have an idea of the pulse of things, particularly now that we have so much via the internet and, of course, radio. But we're in this pre-bullet war, and this is the intelligence operations, the apparatus that we have to move into to save Israel is to just get out of the beast as far as we can. And there's many other things that we can talk about. We've got the banks. We've got, you know, other things too. We're networking for food and all sorts of things. So you don't have to participate in the beast unless you just don't want, you know, unless you want to. But the bottom line is we're at war. But we're not going to be stupid and stand out and say, okay, and start acting like some idiot with a machine gun in front of a whole bunch of guys in armor. That's not it. That's not what we're doing. We will say this, though. We know exactly who's been hit, where they are taking guns, almost on a daily basis. And guess who's doing it? Homeland Security. One of these days, they're going to hit a pot of people. And it's real interesting, even back in the 90s, the police have this kind of, they have a hearing trouble, is what I'd like to call it. You might be standing all by yourself, and you're trying to talk to them with some reason, and they don't listen, and they abuse you and beat you and whatever. The bottom line then becomes, when they began to realize one time there was an event down in Texas where the commander was in a high school listening to a talk. There was lots of patriots back then. And they wanted, for some reason, this commander, the police were there. They came up with a heavy presence. And he walked out with them into the lobby of this school. Goes into the gym. And he says, what do you want? He says, we need to talk to you. He says, and the guy that was the commander down in Texas says, aren't you so-and-so? And he said, yeah. He said, I had you in my shop class because the guy was a teacher. He says, I know who you are. He says, I got to tell you something right now. Your cops are posturing very aggressively, and I'm going to tell you right now, you'd better stop because I just sent a message. And your entire police force is surrounded by armed militia. If there's any attempt to do anything to me, they're going to be shot. And the bottom line is, did they get in trouble? Did they go to war? No, but the police will back down when they are outnumbered. Let's go to more modern times. Nevada, when they were trying to take somebody's cattle, right? And they had a huge presence of people show up. Guess what happened? They backed down. When you don't have that huge number of people, you have to be doing it on the stealth. You have to be very, very cloak and dagger with it. And we're going to be doing both. Pretty soon, there's going to be more of this Finicum stuff. And it's unfortunate that the law enforcement do not understand that the United States government doesn't like to own any of that land outside of that 10 square mile area. And it's their ignorance that's going to get them killed, not because they think they're right. Let me back up and say this. The police are so ignorant that they believe they have the moral dignity and duty to protect from a bunch of vigilantes when they don't really understand the law. Now, a lot of people, a pastor, say, well, there's been some rulings of this and that. Nope, there hasn't. Not since when did we have a constitutional convention and change it? We haven't. We are at war, and it's very serious. And, Pastor, I'm just going to tell the listeners, if they want to get involved, then contact you and you can pass them on to me. But we definitely have to start playing a smart game of warfare here, and we are definitely in the early stages of an all-out war here. And we don't have time to sit around and wait for whatever. We've got to get started. I know there was somebody that was in the chat here a while back that did make contact with me, and I sent them a bunch of stuff to get caught up with. So I just hope that they, you know, there's a learning curve. So all I'm saying is, if you want to get started, we've got a lot to do, and there's a lot of things that we've got to talk about. In the meantime, I'm ready to answer questions.
Well, I have a quote here that's apropos to what we're talking about. This is from what some folks consider one of the greatest generals, Napoleon Bonaparte. Not that he was perfect, but he was certainly a very good warrior. He says, "The first rule of war is to convince the enemy that he cannot win," which sounds like he had read Sun Tzu's Art of War. And that's exactly what the media is being used for by the cabal, the Zionist cabal here in America and all over Europe too. But they're trying to convince us, don't bother because you can't win. And as we said, the Bible says that in the latter days that people would stand around going, well, who can war with the beast? Well, Yahweh's sons and daughters can war with the beast. In fact, that's why we're here. So yeah, these average, sheep out here that are brain dead, lazy, apathetic, don't give a damn about much of anything. No, they can't war with the beast. They have no integrity, no character, no spiritual strength. But Gideonites, the children of Gideon and who we are, we have that ability to not only fight, but we can knock our numbers down from 33,000 down to 300 and still come out the victors. So numbers don't mean anything. It's quality. Now, I did want to ask, and you were starting to cut out just a little bit when you were telling the folks that if they wish to contact you, they can contact me first, and I will forward the information to Doc. So just remember that, folks. Also, don't think you have to be an expert with tons of experience and all kinds of electronic experience and money and everything else. As Doc is saying, just make up your mind you want to be part of the fight. Contact him, and he can tell you how it can be something as simple as buying a receiver and putting out a wire antenna and be a listener. That doesn't require much, and it's not that expensive, especially if you're just buying a receiver. Now, if you're going to buy a transceiver, which means to talk and to listen, that'll be a few more dollars, of course. But if you want to be part of the solution instead of sitting on your ass being part of the problem, well, then contact Doc and find out what you can do to help, and he'll tell you what to buy and where to put it and how to use it and be part of the solution, because this is a war. We've talked about that, this very thing on this radio show now quite extensively over the past 4 months, as things have heated up, we are in a war. It is for the existence of our race. So you're not just fighting for yourselves, folks. You're fighting for your family, your children, your grandchildren, for the future. Because if we lose this one, it's all over. These people are coming out of the closet as far as how wicked and evil they are and what their intentions are. So we are literally at the first time in history that we know of anyway. This is the first time the white race's existence is actually in question. We've shrunk to less than 8% of the world's population, and the Jewish cabal, the false Israelites, the Revelation 2:9 imposters, have made it quite clear that they're not going to stop until we're gone. So, you know, it's time to get involved, folks. You gotta join the fight and fight in whatever method you can. And Doc is quite right. We have the moral right to defend ourselves, up to and including taking out the enemy. The enemy has been very vocal and very clear that they are not lawful. They do not intend to obey their oaths of office. They do not intend to even understand what's in the Constitution. They could care less about your rights, including your right to life, as the younger George Bush, the demonic Bushes, said quite clearly, it's just a goddamn piece of paper. So these people have been very clear about the fact they have no respect for our organic law, so they don't care. They're outlaws. And what does an outlaw have any rights? When you see a guy climbing in through the window of your house with the intention to rape your wife and murder both of you, you're thinking you don't have the right to defend yourself. So what's the difference if the person climbing through the window has a hoodie on or he's got a blue uniform with a gold badge on it? What's the difference? The intention is the same. Your rights are exactly the same. Now, Doc, are you watching the chat room?
A little bit.
Okay. I don't have it up. That's why. Was there any questions on it?
Well, I did get a... I don't know that. Let's see here. Let me look. Not really. I don't see any. Maybe somebody can. Is there another question? I don't see any directly to me. Well, I had one sent to me. It was a troll question.
Oh, okay.
We've got some.
Well, I've got some questions.
Okay.
There's a lot of. I've been following the QAnon posts quite frequently, and it was interesting just yesterday. One of the posts said, we have saved, it's a lie, the bastard nation in Palestine, not the true people of Israel, who are the white race. But this bastard nation in it's a lie, the Q post said, we have saved them for last. Had you read that one yet?
I've heard about that. That's an interesting comment, isn't it?
Yeah, and here's my take on this, Doc. So you have a vast amount of experience. You know a lot of folks, I've been following this, and here's the weird position I take on it. Whoever this Q is seems to be pretty accurate with what they're saying. But the problem I have is everything they're talking about coming up here, in fact, today is supposed to be kickoff day for some major arrests. But everything they're talking about could go either way. So we're not really in a position to sit back and sigh relief. We're actually should be on heightened alert because every step that Q is talking about could be directed towards patriots just as easy as it could John Podesta and the rest of the pedophiles in the cabal. Would you agree with that?
It could. Let's put something, apparently a lot of people that have not experienced intelligence training, and I've had an opportunity to be trained by a man in a military intelligence that had been in it 45 years. There may be some things planned by the good guys, by the bad guys. And a lot of times when the bad guys have something planned and we find out about it and we know or are anticipating it and it doesn't happen, people go, well, golly, see, it's not, you didn't have right information anyway. That's not how you evaluate intelligence. Because of why it happened or if it happened or didn't happen, didn't mean the intelligence is bad. What it means is their plans didn't go in according to their plan. Their plans were messed up, or something happened, it changed. And it could be a good guy at the last minute messing up a bad guy and vice versa. It really could be. There could be some planned arrests. Will it go as planned? That's the question. Will it go as planned? Did that mean it wasn't planned? No. It just means it didn't happen. For some reason, it didn't work. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think, and I had heard about this Israel for last. Let me tell you why I think that's going on. I don't know who this nobody, I guess, knows who the Q guy is or person is. But I definitely think that their plane, finally, somebody's playing them as a chump. And who am I talking about? Israel. If you've got the gorilla in the room causing you trouble, he's not the first person you pick on, is it? You set the stage inside the room so that you can take down the gorilla later, because you can't take him down at first. I think that you play footsies with them and get them close only then to when you hug them on that last day they're going to live, you bring them into your chest, give them a hug, and stab them in the back. And I think that's what's meant, that Israel has been saved for last. That's what I really think.
Well, that
makes...
Go ahead.
In the meantime, we're going to be seeing a lot of placating of Israel policies, Zionist agendas, and Likud, you know, oh, okay, we'll let you have your embassy in Jerusalem and so forth, only to make them think that everything's, this is a joke, kosher, but it ain't. Because there's another agenda afoot to take them out, and they don't know it. They're just being played. A lot of people always think we're the ones being played. This time I think we've got something going. But we definitely have enemies like Maxine Waters and Pelosi and Feinstein and Schumer, and every damn one of those people needs to be shot in the head. They're traitors. They have no intentions of this country being number one on their agenda and the people of America. They are intending to disrupt and take this country down. We have so many people that they're not voted in people. They're actually placed in. It's broken ballot boxes that have gotten these people in, and corruption. And I can remember when there was this lady trying to run against one of those slime ball women in California that are our legislator, that ended up having her office raided. Her sons were killed in a war that wasn't supposed to happen, and she kept demanding the president to, you know, apologize, and he never would do it. Now, she had some money, so she decided to run. They raided her office. We've got to understand that people like Pelosi are part of a family, a mafia family from out east. This is a war upon America, and they're planning on taking us down. That is obvious. It should be obvious. And they're doing it right now.
Yeah.
So we need to be acting accordingly.
Well, these people have committed acts of treason in open court or in an open forum such as an open session of Congress, a confirmation hearing. These are all official venues, much the same as a courtroom, and it's been a standard of international law that the confession of a crime in an open court requires no trial. So when these people commit acts of treason and outright genocide, make statements about genociding the white race in an open forum, they have basically sentenced themselves right then and there. Wouldn't you agree?
Yep.
So, we have the moral, high ground already. We don't need any more confessions. We don't need a court. We don't need even a military tribunal at that point. They have confessed to treason in an open forum. Therefore, they're guilty.
And the question I think that's on everybody's lips is, why haven't we seen some arrest? And we could start with the obvious ones that are on the way down. Huma, the homosexual partner, chief of staff for Hillary Clinton, and her little gang of criminals that were working on the EIT stuff. Why haven't they been thrown in the hoosegow? Why hasn't her pedophile husband been thrown in the hoosegow? I mean, I think we've just, they've just crossed our line. The Anglo-Saxons about ready to, I mean, the blood's boiling, isn't it? It's just over. It's over.
Well, it's,
and so what has to happen? We've got to have a group of people that has, some authority with something called the weapons. Send a message to these people and say, you better get these people arrested. We're waiting. And there was a time when militias, they had clout. And they tried to destroy it through, of course, propaganda, media, and so forth. They're doing that again with the media. They're trying to destroy this, and we have to come back against it. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say we have some precedent in what Craig Sawyer, the former Navy SEAL that started Vets for Child Rescue, he's proving our point. These pedophiles have committed open acts that require punishment, and basically his Viper teams are putting out decoys, and when these pedophiles go after these teenagers for illicit sex or more, they are being busted. And I think they've made it quite clear that if they were to resist, they would have no problem of putting them down with a bullet or whatever else was necessary. I thought it was quite poetic justice when one of the latest guys nabbed by these people was an IRS Criminal Investigative Division agent. And he even had his IRS credentials on him when he was soliciting sex from a teenager. So it just goes to show they have no respect for the law. Anybody that thinks the law is going to keep order in our society is dumber than a box of rocks. These people do not respect organic law, any law, and they sure as hell don't respect God's law. So what that leaves is the Anglo-Saxons, as Rudyard Kipling says in his poem, when the Saxon learns to hate, it doesn't come easily to us. We're very peaceful people. We just want to be left alone. We're civilization builders. We're healers. We give succor and aid to those in need. In fact, sometimes we do it to a fault. But when the Saxon does learn to hate, then the world stands up and pays attention, because we don't take prisoners and we show no mercy. When you push us to the point where we break, it'll be all out war at that point. Right now it's a psychological war, as Doc is talking about. There are some bullets flying here and there. There are obviously casualties, the Arkansas-sided people, the so-called suicided people of like the naturopathic doctors that are working on things, or the biologists that just sort of quote disappear, or the poor guy out there in the Midwest with two bullets in the back of his head, and it was told that he was a suicide. I mean, that shows you the criminality of who we're up against. So anybody out there that doesn't think these people will commit murder, you're again, you're dumber than a box of rocks. They've already it's already been proven that that's the kind of criminals we're dealing with. So just because they hide behind a government office or a government badge or a government uniform, that doesn't make them any less the criminal. In fact, it makes them worse because now they're in the position of a spy. Because a spy comes with an outward appearance of being one of your own, but he actually has criminal intent or treason, intent of treason. So they're actually worse. That's why every country, the punishment for a spy was immediate execution, firing squad. Because spies do the most damage. They're literally the wolves in sheep's clothing. They're pretending to be part of your government, pretending to be part of your police force, pretending to be part of the sheriff's department, when in reality they're working for the communist cabal, and they're willing to go out there and commit murder against we the people. So therefore, they have no protections, basically, under the law, God's law, or even common law. There is no protection for a criminal such as that. And in my book, they deserve a double punishment because they're even worse than a common criminal.
This requires a lot of, well, the first thing that a military has to have is communication. You can build an army. You can have it sitting there looking at the enemy and nobody knows who's supposed to go when and what they're supposed to do. Maybe they've been told in a little huddle, hey, we're going to do this and this and this, but then when they get out and they begin to engage, nobody knows, well, we forgot to hand out radios so we can talk to each other. You have to coordinate it. That's what we're in the process of doing, and I've got a question that's come through the chat about three times now. Guys, and I see it, so we're going to talk about that for sure. And that's this. We're in intelligence gathering right now to find out what they have plans to do. The Signal Group is receiving all kinds of messages, most of which, of course, are encrypted. Some of the crew can detect and know what by their particular types of nuances from each one of the countries who it is. So that gives away the fact that it's Israel, or it gives away the fact that it's Saudi or something like that. And right now, because of the technology that's at our fingertips and our ability to communicate and have encrypted, no middleman meetings in on the internet, we need people from all over the world, because Signal Intelligence Gathering has to have people in Europe. It has to have people in South America. It has to have people in Australia. It has to have people in America and Canada and so forth. So no matter where you're at, you can become part of this effort. We have a lot of training material. Tons of people are involved in it already, but they're not doing it for the reason that we're doing it. And what the Israelite men need to be doing is gathering this information for a different reason. We've been blessed with a lot of hobbyists out there that kind of listen to this stuff and pass it around and talk about it, because that's just what they like to do. They like to listen to the spook and mysterious signal stuff. But what they don't realize is they're handing it to us, and we are gathering more information from this than we've got, you know, time for. And you can even listen on your own equipment. The problem that we've got is the massive amount of intel that we're getting. I mean, we're just overloaded. And so we've just got to start kind of, this is a work in progress. And we've got to learn how to meet out what's important and what's not important. So it's not just you're going to be doing it, you're going to be thinking and helping and suggesting ways to move forward with what we're doing, and it's gathering intelligence. How would it be that if we had known ahead of time what had been planned for Finicum, or for that matter, what was going to go down in Nevada when they were, you know, going, when everybody showed up at the ranch? I mean, that was a, Pastor, that was a near miss right there. Unfortunately, what they did as they always do, these criminals always wait. When they're overwhelmed, they then go back and lurk and wait and wait and watch and wait and follow and track and hunt you down and get you when you're sleeping or get you when your guard's down. And that's what they did when they went after him again when they shot and murdered Finnegan. Now, where did all those guys go? We need to have a operational headquarters that spreads information and lists that says, here's the team that went, here's who shot Finnegan, we're going to keep track of everything he does, everywhere he goes, and we're going to let everybody know he's a murderer. Nobody follows up with what happened to, you know, and you can just fill in the blank after they got caught so many times, right? We have to do that. We have to go to war, but we have to collect our intelligence, and we have to hit these other things that are going. So there's about three or four things in. There's counterintelligence gathering, there's signals intelligence, there's operations to go into chat rooms and to attack the Israeli Defense Forces propaganda that's going on. And that's a big one. Right there, that's a big one. And we certainly have got it going on right here. They're probably... I got a question that was more for a pastor than it would be for anybody else, but I know why the question was asked. And the bottom line is, you know, everybody start... I'm going to give out an email, but let me tell you before you begin spamming me because you're a troll, that... I'll just have it set and filter you out, and you can keep changing it all you want, but it won't make any difference because it'll take your IP address and just send you to hell. So the bottom line is, I don't care whether you're a bad guy and you think you're going to harass me, just go ahead and have fun because I love to collect IP addresses. We have guys that do that all day long. In fact, we have an IP address expert in our group, and that's all he does. And then he's got a big old long sheet of IP addresses. And guess, Pastor, what IP addresses give us?
Well, that would give you the computer and location.
It'd give you the location. So we'd love to have you spam us with your emails because we like locations. You can become one of those little pins on the wall for future reference.
By the way,
right,
understood. We did get a comment from in Europe, particularly the United Kingdom, wants to know, Doc, if there are any counterparts to what's happening here in America overseas.
Not that I know of. And if they want to start, we'll get them up to speed.
Okay, good answer, right. Well, you nailed it when you said we network. You know, if you look at Israelites and all the victories we've had through the centuries where we've survived tremendous odds against us, such as Rorke's Drift in South Africa, when the British withstood what was it, close to 10,000 Zulus, and they had a couple hundred men, and the worst casualties was a couple guys got wounded, and they had nobody got killed, and yet the Zulus lost, well, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000 of their warriors. So we look at Gideon with his 300 against over 100,000 Midianites, again no casualties, and won the victory. So, you know, we do that by working together as a team, sharing intel, sharing whatever it is that the Father leads us to do, because he's the commander-in-chief, and that's what the enemy, that's why their anger is so great, because we have the best team on the block, and we're going to win. They can't defeat us. If we work together as a team and do it righteously, and keep our motives pure and our conduct pure, we are literally invincible. We've got a caller, Doc. Doug from Arkansas, welcome to the program.
Hi there. I appreciate and honor you, Dan, and you, Doc. If you want to finish anything, I do have some comments, but you want to just continue on what your line of thought is there, go ahead.
Well, I pretty much finished what I had there, unless Doc has something. So whatever you wanted to bring to the conversation, go ahead.
Yeah, well, oh, go ahead, Doc.
No, I was going to say go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, you know, what you were just recently talking about of the Nevada thing, that was, and unlike everything we see orchestrated by the beast system, this was an organic response by all the Patriot people. Way different.
Okay.
What was that last part? Yeah. What was that last part?
Well, I'm saying it's way different. This was an organic response. In other words, the term organic, you know, they use this term like this is actually individual people, organic people, living anywhere, everywhere, that they respond to something. So they call it organic, like as if it's a real group of people out there in the masses who come together in a response to a situation. This was a real organic response. And the organic response stood the evil beast system, all these alphabet agencies down. Okay. So, I mean, that, to me, is very evident. Now, another thing I'll say, when it came to, when you're talking, Doc, about codes and all these encrypted things, I've got two things to say. One is that I will say that the United States, those people in the United States of America who during the Second World War broke the Japanese code and the German code, the Enigma code, that gave our, we'll say, military and government the ability to, well, to win, if it was used correctly, which we know it wasn't. But these are the breaking of code. And the second thing along this line is, are you aware of James McKay, a physicist?
No.
Okay. Well, he wrote a book.
Oh, James, yeah, yes, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, he wrote a book, and he deciphered and broke down everything, he just made it where a grammar school child could, he wrote a book on this, and I think it's called, like, something like Breaking Codes. There's some letters in there, but EMRA codes or something like that. And he kind of surreptitiously puts out every book he writes, he puts it out before it actually goes public so it can never be taken away and destroyed. And he wrote a book on codes. And it basically teaches anyone how to break any of these encryption codes. Now, I have not bought the book or read it, but I'm telling you that the people you have working there on encryption may want to buy that book. You can get it, in, as far as I know, in hard copy or the other type over email, it teaches step by step. As a matter of fact, as he described it, he said, I could sit someone down with a pencil and paper, school children, and within, you know, an hour, we'll say, teach them how to break all these codes. So that's what I would recommend to you, Doc, there is to you guys buy that book, because once you can break that capsule, so to speak, I think you'd be able to, with the technological knowledge that you and your helpers have, you could probably do that. Now, I'll just say this. I mean, I've been taking notes on the whole show here, and there's a lot more.
Tell us about the old habits, George.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, we had a troll break in. Go ahead, Doug. Finish. Repeat what you were just saying.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying is that, you know, I'm basically, my first love is the scriptures. Okay? And my Heavenly Father, it's His word. The scriptures are His word. There is commandments, there is instructions. So I've been at this for 40 years. And so that's what I rely upon. And when I, look at what He did with Gideon, what He did with Joseph, what He did with Moses, what He did just over and over and over again, the pattern, and this is what, even in this intelligence stuff, and in our daily life, we're supposed to know patterns. We're supposed to recognize patterns, and that's how we recognize good from evil, and it gives us a helpmate, so to speak. It gives us instruction. And so one of the things that cannot be argued with is that in all of the victories that Israel ever had, it was using, there was basically one leader who was sold out to Him, single-minded, focused on Him. He'd given up all other things, and through that man, or women, sometimes like Deborah, the course of a nation changed, like with David and, Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. So I'm not poo-pooing all of this. I mean, actually, you know, I don't stay angry, but there's a lot of things that I get angry about, and as a fighting man and a warrior, myself, I kind of want to do something along those lines of actually getting in the battle. So I'll probably email you, Dan, and maybe, because I live in Arkansas, so that's the Ozarks. I don't know where Doc Waterman is, but, I'd like to do something more than what I'm able to do right now. I don't have any compatriots. I don't have any compatriots either that are of a warrior, militia, patriot type of mentality, and I don't have any compatriots that are of a dedicated child of the Most High either. But if I could do something that, because presently, I'll speak the truth, and I deem that as being something worthwhile, but as a physical guy, I also want to get involved physically to do things. But I don't have a lot of extra money to do anything. If the Father wants me to do that, He'll provide.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for calling in, Doug, and Yahweh bless, buddy.
Same to you.
All right, Doc. So there you got a volunteer. He'll be contacting you through me, and hopefully that'll work into something productive there, but you know, the scripture tells us to be doers, not hearers only. So, I hope people are paying attention. You don't get any brownie points for knowing the truth and then sitting on your ass. thinking somebody else is going to have to do all the fighting. That's just not the way it works, folks. If you think father's going to honor that, again, I hate to keep saying it, but you're just dumber than a box of rocks. Read the scripture, listen to that small, still voice in your mind, which is coming through the pineal gland, and that's your antenna, and the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit's telling you to sit back on your haunches and let somebody else do all the fighting, I seriously doubt it's the Holy Spirit talking to you. Might be the spirit of Antichrist, but it sure as hell isn't the spirit of our Father, who's a God of war, vengeance, righteousness, and he defends the helpless. How many times is it saying there, defend the children and the widows? Why? Because they're the most vulnerable, morons. The most vulnerable in your society is your children and your widows. And who's being taken advantage of by this world system right now? Women and children. Body parts, harvesting, sex slave trade, snuff films, pedophilia, cannibalism. How much more of this crap do you have to see before you realize you got to shut that damn electronic toilet off and get involved? It doesn't, you know, many hands make light work. Isn't that the saying you remember when you were a boy, Doc?
Yes, for sure. We have tactical levels. That's a local, more regional type of operational training and focus. We have strategic. We have focused groups that help assist organic response. He was talking about organic response. They don't have to be in our group. What if we could manipulate some kind of riot? What if we could cause some kind of organic response to happen? That's the power of intelligence.
You know what would be kind of really interesting, Doc? Wouldn't it be fun to wake up one day and all this barrage of information through the different news channels, whether it's the lamestream Communist News Network or even the alt-right? But wouldn't it be nice for a change to read where two Israeli operatives in Arkansas were found on a railroad track cut in half by a train, and they had committed suicide? Wouldn't that be something to find out?
Well, there is this local beat going on down in Arkansas where the wrestlers finally, I guess, had a conscience, and he's been all over the local news, all over about every local Arkansas television station, telling about the fact that he was there and that he was involved. And this is an indictable testimony for crimes that have no statute of limitations. And I'm wondering just how long this guy is going to last. It's incredible. There needs to be what's going to happen is this. When they begin to see that they're losing, they're going to put their hands up and go, "Oi, oh, hell, please, oh, please," you know, and they'll want to be exiled. They'll want to be anything but shot so they can go regroup. That's what it amounts to. But you know what? I don't think the Father's plans this time include regrouping ability.
You know what's interesting? There is a fellow has a YouTube channel. Amazingly, he's still up. I was made aware of this YouTube channel. But every episode is calling for the extermination of the chosen, because there's absolutely no redeeming quality to these people, and it is verifiable that they are behind every act of mischief, mayhem, assassination, intrigue, and murder in this world. Exactly as the Christ said over 2,000 years ago, as recorded in the book of John. They are liars, deceivers, murderers, thieves, degenerate. He called them vipers. He said they were without redemption. He said they were condemned already. That's why they are called Christ killers, because he identified them properly, and he didn't buy their BS, and he was telling the folks around him. that they were criminals. And so they orchestrated a phony kangaroo trial, which violated every rule that even they have. By the way, does that sound familiar? You go into the courts today, they violate their own rules of the court as long as it gets them the verdict they want. Well, they did the same thing 2,000 years ago with the Christ. So nothing's changed. I mean, these people brag about being Christ killers. And it's no different today. Christian families are the point of attack by the communist Jews. And now they're coming out of the woodwork because time is short. The wake-up is in full swing. The whole world is waking up to these people. I'm reading, like this guy with his YouTube channel, I'm reading comments being posted on chat after chat after chat after chat. The damn Jews, the Zionists, the cabal, all the different names that the Jews hide under. So I think you're right, Doc. I believe that this time around we're going to see the Obadiah verse 18 come to pass. I really do. I believe Obadiah 18 will become a reality.
Well, it's got to happen sooner or it's not going to be much to have any reason to wipe them out because we'll be gone. It's us or them. That's a matter. That's just a fact. And what a lot of people, I don't know what they're waiting for. I don't want them to think that. Well, let's back up. When they went into the promised land, there was this fellow by the name of Caleb. Now, there was Joshua, too. But how old was Caleb? He was an old dude. If I understand it, he was in his 80s. And this guy's going to war? I wonder who helped him. Now, let me tell you what's happened. I have been in communist countries smuggling Bibles, and I have seen some of the most miraculous things that still today I was wondering, how did this happen? I can go story after story about it, but when you have guys that are on your bus, they caught you with Bibles, they have the butt of a rifle up in the air getting ready to smash faces in, and all of a sudden, and he's screaming bloody murder, red in the face, slobbering all over himself, and all of a sudden he just pauses and looks down the aisle of the bus, still holding his gun and his weapon and his rifle in the air, and walks off like a zombie and steps down the bus steps, goes straight over to the curb and just keeps walking off into the grass and into the woods. You gotta wonder what you just saw. You've just gotta wonder. You know, those kind of things are what comes to the remnant. But they have, like you say, they better be right. And I mean by right, I don't mean legally. They better be right with their father. That's got to be first.
Yeah, amen to
that. That's why they culled so many out, and it ended up being this small group of people. We don't need people that don't understand what the Father's will is. You won't know that unless you have a relationship with him.
You know what else it reminds me of? The story, one of the stories I love, and the first time I found out about this, even though I'd read it in the Bible, it didn't stick for some reason, but there was a guy in Ohio at the power plant where I was working, and it was during construction, so there was close to 8,000 people on site. And back then, that's prior to personal computers and all that, so one of the fastest ways to get things out was Xeroxing a bunch of copies, going down to the Xerox machine and just make up 50 to 100 copies of something. And he was handing out a piece of paper, and at the top it said, "The Third Captain." So he came up to me and said, "Hey, Dan, I'd like you to read this." And he gave it to me, and I just stuck it in my shirt pocket. And then later on I pulled it out and was reading it. It's the story, I believe it's in Numbers. It might be in Joshua, but I believe it's in Numbers chapter 6. It's talking about when the king sent 50 armed men with malicious intent and their captain to bring in the prophet of Yahweh for questioning. probably their intention was to kill him. And the prophet just said, if I be a prophet of Yahweh, may he send fire down. And he sure as hell did, because 51 crispy critters were laying on the ground. Well, the king, being a king and being obnoxious, like some of our rulers today, he sent another 50 because he doesn't care. So 51 guys just got burnt to a crisp. He sends another 50 with their captain, and they didn't learn anything from the first 50. And they says, you know, you come down off of that mountain. We demand it. It almost sounds like the police today, doesn't it? You come out here anyway. We don't care if we have a right to. And just because we plan on killing you on the way to the palace, you got to come down here because we say so. Well, the prophet, once again, if I be a prophet of Yahweh, let fire rain down from heaven. And now there's 51 more crispy critters laying on the ground. So the moral of the story is the third captain wised up. He showed up with his 50, and he took on a completely different attitude. He asked the prophet, would you please spare the lives of the king's servants and let us accompany you to the presence of the king? We will guard you, make sure nothing happens, because, quite frankly, we don't want to die today. So would you please just come down off the mountain and go with us to the king, and we will guarantee your safety. And with that, the prophet said, okay, I won't turn you into crispy critters or my father in heaven, actually. But the point of it is that, okay, this time, because you have now learned your lesson, then, you know, so once again, attitude is everything. Just like the woman in Matthew, when Christ finally gave her a blessing and healed her daughter, it was only after she demonstrated the proper attitude. Yes, I am a dog, meaning a race outside of the Israelite race, but I'm right. Coming in humility. I'm asking you as a dog to spare a crumb off of your table as my master. Okay, so she showed humility and accepted her role on this earth as ordained by our Father. And so that's when the Christ said, your daughter is healed. He didn't turn around and say, well, it's okay now that you can go marry a white person, or your daughter can go marry a white person and violate my law. He didn't even say, you'll be an Israelite from now on and you'll share in the promises that I've given to my children. He didn't say that either. He just said, because of your admission to the reality of what's going on, I will bless you. I will heal your daughter and you can go away and know that you have been blessed. And it goes back to what it says about Abraham. Those who bless Abraham, who is our ancestor, not these despicable imposters called Jews. He's our ancestor. The people that benefit and bless the white race have always received more benefits back than what they gave to the white race. Go ask people all through antiquity who the civilization builders were. It was our people. And so when they blessed us and left us alone and allowed us to bring the hospitals and the modern techniques for healing and construction and architecture and farming, everybody got blessed. But when you cursed us, now you turned us into the worst enemy you could possibly imagine. And these Zionists have just about turned the white race into those kind of Rudyard Kipling people. In the very near future, they have pushed us and pushed us and pushed us. And I think we're on the verge of them finding out the strongest and most vicious warrior ever created was a pissed off white guy.
That's right. That's true. And the bottom line, though, is that you're going to get threats. Maybe you'll get, well, in 2009, I was on the radio a lot, and as a naturopathic doctor of alternative, I was against the vaccinations of the H1N1 virus. And we got death threats. I got death threats. And since then, colleagues that I've trained with under Dr. Rao from Switzerland have been murdered for using GCMAF for autistic kids. And I'm telling you, the beast system wants any iota of loss of control met with extreme prejudice, and it can be anybody. And in fact, you know, you said 51 died. I wonder if the enemy had a long memory and decided to get back their 51 when they burned and incinerated 51 at Waco. That's kind of something maybe the commander of the evil side said, ha, ha, I got my 51 back. The war is vicious. It is a killer, but we still have to fight. You know, there's a lot of people going, well, I'll fight the war, and the caveat is if we can win. Well, we're going to eventually win anyway. But the bottom line is, if the Father makes you a prophet and tells you to go out in the middle of an army, you better go. You'd better go to Nineveh and do your job, right? Anyway, if you feel compelled, if you feel led to become involved, we're going to do this very smartly, and we're going to keep you busy. Contact the pastor and let me know what you'd like to do. There's all kinds of little things we can do, and we're in the, it's a work in progress. So I just wanted to thank you for letting me be on today.
Yeah, thanks, Doc, and Yahweh bless your heart. I was remiss in not asking about your health. I know you went through a surgery recently, and I was just curious how that's going, and are you feeling better?
Oh, boy, let me tell you, it was touch and go, and back to it. I've got a few things to iron out, and I'll be okay, though. It's kind of scary. I've had an entire family I've lost to a lot of serious illnesses, and I've been the sole survivor of them all, and I did it all without drugs. So I've been blessed to be here a while, and I'm going to raise a little heaven for the hell that's on earth.
That's a good way of putting it. I like that. All right. Well, thanks for being with us. We'll have to do it again sometime real soon. Of course, you have an open invitation. A man in your position, if you feel that there's anything that needs to get out to the sheep out there, our men and women, our Radamanthine warriors, you certainly, like I said, just contact me, and I will make sure that you have airtime anytime you need it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yep.
And blessings to all the listeners, and I'll be looking forward to it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, Doc Waterman, and you can go to his website, thewatermanfiles.com. Doc has information up there. But, Doc's right. You know, we're in a war. Whether you realize it or not, doesn't change anything. This is a war, and you need to make a choice. Personally, I know that the many, many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of guests that I've had in 18 years of being on the radio, we've all shared with anybody that was paying attention the fact that this dangerous situation was coming. We were the watchmen on the wall telling you that you better make preparations mentally, physically, and spiritually, and that you... You're not going to be able to sit on the fence, folks. In some ways I feel sorry for the people out there that want to be fence setters, either because of their cowardice, their laziness, apathy, whatever disease that, permeates the soul of some of our people. But you know, it's not my battle plan. Logos in the Greek language means plan as much as it does the word. And the modern-day churchianity wants us to focus on the definition of the word so that we look at our Bibles. But actually, the focus that was talked about in the Greek language was the fact that it is a plan. That's where we get the word logic, logos, logic, because there's intelligence behind it. This is a plan that's working out through the ages to this very moment. We have been honored by Yahweh to be alive at a point in time that the prophets were looking forward to. The restoration of earth. The wicked being destroyed utterly, so that the righteous will inherit. The meek. And the word meek in the Old English is just another word for humble. And I'm going to tell you something. Now, Doc talked about a lot of the strategies and everything else and qualifications, but another qualification that the Rhadamanthine warriors need to focus on is how to be humble. Most of our people have completely forgotten what that quality or that virtue is all about. We're almost out of time, so Yahweh bless one and all. Stay strong, stay focused. May Yahweh watch over us and guide us in all that we say and do, and may He most of all protect us from our enemies. Hallelujah.